Good evening, everyone. Hopefully we are live on Facebook now. And welcome to Shift Church on this very rainy March day. Although it's been a nice couple of days up till today, because Tim and I were away in the caravan for a couple of days. And we actually had some really lovely sunshine, which made a change until today when it completely changed. So welcome everyone. And who have we got with us today?
You've got me, Sean. I'm going to be doing a reading and looking at the stream tonight.
Fantastic.
There's me, Emily. I guess that leaves me with the reading and prayers. So yeah.
And I'm Liz. I always forget to introduce myself. I'm Liz. So welcome everyone. I hope that you're feeling well tonight. And tonight we're going to be talking a little bit about our creativity and God's creativity. And we're going to be continuing our series with a book, Intimate with the Ultimate, about pursuing intimacy with God, and just talking about how we find our creativity in him and how we all have some sort of creativity, even if we don't feel like we do. So I guess a good question to start with is, what do you love doing? What really fills you with joy in terms of creativity? It doesn't have to actually be what most people would see as creative, but what fills you with joy to do? You know, do join in on the stream with your thoughts on that. And what about you guys? What do you love to do? What, Emmy, what do you love to do?
Oh, that's a really difficult one. I'm sort of like a bit of a crafter, so I have lots of different crafts. But I guess trying new things really excites me. I really like doing new things. So there's not one thing I'm absolutely proficient at. I like trying lots of new crafts. So that's probably something. I always come back to a lot of crochet. I like that. So I guess that's pretty creative.
Yeah. Well, you always strike me as being very creative. You always have all these lovely ideas. And I remember when we did I think it might be Revive or something like that. And you did this workshop on journaling and all of this. And it was just really beautiful.
Junk journaling. Yeah.
That's it. I think I've still got the little thing that I made, and it was really lovely. Yeah. What about you, Sean?
I'm pretty boring, really. I started playing football again, even though I'm very old. And basically, what I find creative is different ways to score goals. So I like to try and maybe score a goal with my head, or a volley or overhead kick, that sort of thing. So I'll try and be a bit creative rather than just turning out every week and just going through the motions. I try to be a bit creative in my how I play, I guess.
Yeah. That's really cool. I really love that answer, because it is, you know, it just shows that creativity is a lot more well-rounded than we might think it is. It's not just picking up some pens and drawing.
Yeah.
There's much more to what our mind can do by ourselves. And and most of you know I love anything to do with words. So that's where I kind of really, what I love doing. I love writing poetry and all of those kind of things. And I'm absolutely hopeless at most kind of craft, hands-on craft. So yeah, anything to do with knitting, crochet, anything like that, useless. In fact, somebody's tried to teach me to crochet a couple of times, and they get really fed up because I just can't do it. So yeah, so we are all different. So anyone else, anyone on the stream got any ideas about what they love?
Yes. Ali says, I love creating fragrances for my products.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, yeah, that's lovely. And they're beautiful products as well. Ali works with this company called Beauty for Ashes, and it's a candle company. Most of the proceeds go to a charity called Azalea, I think it is, that works with young women who've been in modern slavery. Or who've been in domestic abuse situations, all that kind of thing. And so yeah, do check out Beauty for Ashes online, because it's a really, really lovely candles, really lovely.
It's a good plug for there. Charlotte says, I loved crafts, sewing, crochet, and diamond painting.
Yeah, wow. And you're amazing at all of those, Charlotte. Really.
Yeah. Diamond painting sounds interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Awesome.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Brilliant. Well, do continue to share your thoughts on the stream. And we're just going to have a little bit of spoken word now about creativity and about God's creativity, especially. Okay, so here we go.
A guy came up to me the other night, right? And he was like, who's your favorite artist? And like most people do when they ask a question, he didn't really care about my answer and proceeded to tell me what he thought the true answer was. And he continued about his struggle to recognize who he said was the greatest of all time. He said, I mean, is it Shakespeare? Is it Frost? Picasso? Michelangelo? Is it the Beatles? Rembrandt? Michael Jackson? Beethoven? And he went on and on and on about who he thought was the greatest, not recognizing even his infrastructure to answer that question was misled and outdated. And so finally, I kindly smiled and said, okay, sir, you asked me who is the greatest of all time. Now you tried to share yours, so let me share mine, because there's no debate about who is the greatest, because all those other artists you mentioned, yeah, the greatest made them. And see, this artist, he's a beast, a lion, the name above names. You don't even realize it, but you encounter his art every day, and he deserves all of the acclaim. He deserves all of the fame, because all other artists pass away, but he remains. Oh, by the way, his name is God, Yahweh, creator, your maker. He's infinitely creative, sir. There is no one greater. And I can tell it looks like you're starting to get mad at me, but don't be jealous just because your favorite artist might bend words and my favorite artist bends galaxies. See, in the palm of his hand, he holds all the sand, the author of life, when he whispered, let us make man. See, what if I told you that you are God's poetry? You were created because someone else was creative. See, long ago, he picked up his eternal paintbrush, dipped it in his glory, placed us in his story, and said, they will live for me. And I know it sounds outlandish, but we're not the product of random chances. And in fact, we're not even the vine. We're actually the branches. In the same way, we're not the artist. We're actually the canvas. Because in an instant, God started to make art, shaped you uniquely and beautiful, individual from the start. And he touched the canvas of flesh and said, this one is better than the rest. I'll give him so much of my image. So even when they're hot off the press, you can still see the steam of my breath. And so he crafted and he made every arm and leg, ligaments, tendons, muscles, blood vessels, veins, arteries. He said, they're gonna have a part of me. And about that time, the guy butted back in and said, that sounds good and all, but I'm wretched and filthy. God won't use me, will he? And I said, ah, see, that's what's awesome about God. No matter what we've done, he can still use us. Even though other artists, once they have broken equipment, they start to make excuses, God instead doesn't refuse us, and neither does he accuse us. He redeems us in Jesus, promises never to lose us. So stop saying that you're dirt. Stop saying you're scum of the earth. You ought to be careful about how you talk about someone else's work. Because if we've trusted in Jesus, we can stop saying we're filthy. I mean, all that is anyways is just pride clothed in false humility. I mean, if we only believed that we're truthfully created in his likeness, then we'd stop saying we're wretched, filthy, shameful, guilty, but instead, knowing if we've trusted Jesus, we're righteous. I mean, don't you see we're drawn to repentance because of his kindness? So how dare you call yourself worthless when he says you're priceless? But see, the best part is, since God is ultimately for God, he'll get glory out of you, whether you like it or not, because even temple ruins point to an architect, even if the temple is shot. And all I'm saying is that he's behind it all. So why do we insist on giving him no credit at all? I mean, he's the one that gave Van Gogh the imagination that changed the face of painting. Tell me, who else is responsible for Mozart being able to compose at age 5 without formal training? See, he made the fingers that Beethoven used to make art on the keys. For Pete's sake, he made Stevie Wonder, one of the best musicians of our time, and he couldn't even see. And that's why, in the same way that our lives are borrowed time, this poem is borrowed lines, because the most ridiculous statement we could ever say is that this poem is mine, because we're not self-sustaining. No, we're not self-creating. Technically, nothing we do is original. We're just imitating, and that's not a diss. All I'm trying to say is this: even our own creativity is nothing more than an outflow of his. And so I'll end with this. You know that quote about giving credit where credit is due? Well, if that's true, it's about time we give God his rightful credit too, because he's a God in the business of making old things new. And here's the truth: he's not through with making a masterpiece of you.
Pick up your pen and write a song. Lift up your voice and sing along. Raise your bow and play an anthem to our King. Bring all your paintings and your poems. Cast them down before the throne. You are the Maker's handiwork, a living masterpiece.
There we go then. That was so full of lots of things, that poem, wasn't it? But I really thought it brought out so much about God's creativity living in us. Yeah,
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's good, wasn't it? Yeah. So welcome if you've just joined us to Shift Church, and remember, we're available on podcast as well, which I forgot to say at the beginning, that you can find through our website, or just look on your usual podcast provider, or All Saints Wellington. And we're also available on YouTube through the week. So yeah, do jump in there at any time. And as always, if you want to ask any questions or have any suggestions about Shift Church, do email Tim on tim@allsaints-wellington.org. Great. So I think we've got some Bible readings. So who's first with our Exodus reading? Is that you, Sean?
That's me, yes. I'm going to be reading from what version today then? Oh, very boring. Just the New International Version, sorry. And it's from Exodus 35, verse 30 to the end. And the title is, I hope I say it correctly, Bezalel and Oholiab. Then Moses said to the Israelites, "See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic crafts. And he has given both him and Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, and the ability to teach others. He has filled them with skill to do all kinds of work as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and fine linen, and weavers of all of them skilled workers and designers."
Thank you, Sean. That's great. And I think Emmy's got a New Testament reading for us.
I've got Mark chapter 14, verses 1 to 10. And I've got a completely different version I'm reading out of the Message today. So, because this was the Bible I could find, to be honest. It's the New Testament in the Gospels, Mark chapter 14, verses 1 to 10. In only 2 days, the eighth day, festival of the Passover, and the feast of the unleavened bread would begin. The high priests and religious scholars were looking for a way that they could seize Jesus by stealth and kill him. They agreed that it should not be done during the Passover week. "We don't want the crowds to come up in arms," they said. Jesus was at Bethany, a guest of Simon the leper. And while he was eating, a woman came up carrying a bottle of very expensive perfume. Opening the bottle, she poured it on his head, and some of the guests became furious among themselves. "That's criminal, a sheer waste. This perfume could have been sold for well over a year's wages and handed out to the poor." They swelled up in anger, nearly bursting with indignation over her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why are you giving her a hard time? She has just done something wonderful and significant for me. You will have the poor with you every day for the rest of your lives. Whenever you feel like it, you can do something for them. Not so with me. She did what she could when she could. She pre-anointed my body for burial. And you can be sure that whenever in the whole world the message is preached, what she did is going to be talked about admirably." Judas Iscariot was one of the 12 and went to the cabal of the high priest, determined to betray him.
Thank you. That's brilliant. Thank you so much, both of you. If you guys on the stream have any thoughts or questions about those Bible readings, do drop them on the stream. And we're going to go into Tim's talk about this now, where we can think further about these readings and about creativity in ourselves and in God. So yeah, I'm going to share that with you now. All being well.
As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Praying. I wonder, what does praying look like to you? Just take a moment and imagine someone praying. What are you picturing in your mind's eye, I wonder? I think this is an important question for us, because this morning we've promised to pray for Isabella and for Phoebe and for Harriet. Some of us have promised to help them learn to pray. And if we're going to keep those promises, then it seems to me that it would be good if we had a clear idea of what that means, what it looks like. Maybe ideas look a bit like this. Let's have our first slide, shall we? Maybe it looked a little bit like that. Oh, that's a bit dark on that screen, isn't it? That's annoying. They're Franciscan monks at prayer. What about this one? Oh, that's sweet. A boy kneeling down by his bed. What about this one? There you go. All in pews like this, heads bowed. What I'd like to suggest this morning is that while prayer can look like one of those, I think it can also look like this. Let's have the next one. You see that one? Yeah, someone going for a run. What about this one? Yeah. Got any good cooks in the house? What about this one? Oh, look at that. Nothing like a good knit and pray, is there? Okay. So, over the last few weeks in our Sunday morning services, we've been exploring what it means to pray. And we've been working from the basic understanding that prayer, it's a conversation with God that happens naturally as we walk with God, as we work with God, as we watch for God. As we go through our lives with God, prayer is a conversation that can happen naturally. And if you want to catch up on what you've missed, they're all on our Facebook and YouTube channels and on our podcast channel that you can get through our website. But for this morning, we're going to think about the richness that our God-given creativity can bring to our communication with God. So let's start with that first basic building block. Right back in the first book of the Bible, in the first account of the creation of the world in Genesis, we read this. God created human beings in his own image. God created human beings in his own image. And it's this verse which is echoed throughout the Bible that is there's the foundation of our understanding of creativity. God created. It is fundamental to our understanding of who God is that God is creative. It's the source of all that we see and all that we experience. And what follows from that is that if we are created in God's image, if God is created, then so are we. If God is creative, then so are we. We might not feel very creative. We may have been discouraged in early years from believing that we're creative because we weren't naturally gifted in painting or sculpture or music or writing. But I fundamentally believe that it is part of our humanity that God has created each and every one of us with the capacity to create, to make one thing and make something else. So if that's true, what does that mean about how we pray? With that? What about our communication with God? What does it mean for that? So I'd like to suggest three things this morning. Firstly, I think we can be creative about what we believe prayer to be. That's where I go back to some of these images we had earlier. Sometimes I feel like we have an image of what prayer ought to look like. Maybe someone sat quietly or kneeling down or saying lots of words or being silent for an hour in meditation. And there's nothing wrong with any of those. They're all good ways of praying. But I wonder if we might take another approach. Rather than starting what we think prayer ought to look like and beating ourselves up because we find it difficult to get there, why don't we start with who we are? Why don't we start with what we enjoy doing already and think about how we might talk with God as we do that? Let's start in a different place. So if we're into running or going to the gym, what would it mean to be aware of God's presence there with us, talking with God about the places that we're running through or running past, or if we're into walking through or past? If our happy place is the kitchen, creating food for people, what does it look like for us to pray as we do that, to acknowledge God's creativity and generosity as we prepare food for people, perhaps praying for the people that we're preparing food for? Knitting, gardening, playing golf, spending time with the grandchildren, walking, dancing, playing an instrument, taking photos. Whatever it is for you, I believe that these expressions of creativity are expressions of God's image in us. That's how God created you. And through those ways, we can find ways to be with God, to communicate with God. Do you like mind maps? Mind map your prayers. Do you enjoy doing jigsaws? Let's have a picture of a jigsaw. Do you enjoy doing jigsaw? Pray through that. On Ash Wednesday, someone told me that as their thing during Lent, they were going to do a jigsaw featuring a picture of the return of the prodigal son and pray as they were doing it. Whatever your jigsaws are, whatever they're pictures of, choose your jigsaws on that or pray for the places that you're doing jigsaws of. I could go on and on with different examples, but the common thread is this. God created you as you are. God created your personality and made you you. And God also wants to communicate with you, to hear you and to speak to you. And so if that image of prayer that you had at the beginning seems unobtainable, then don't start there. Start with who you are and explore ways of talking with God that come from that. So let's be creative with what we believe prayer to be. And secondly, let's use our creativity in our own prayers, using all our gifts and all our senses. And I think, it seems to me, that the reading we heard that Tommy read for us from Mark's account of the good news of Jesus' life is a really good example of this. When we include some of the details of this encounter from John's Gospel, we see that it, as we take them both accounts together, we see that the woman comes to Jesus, pours out this perfumed oil on his head and on his feet, and then wipes his feet with her hair. The house is filled with the fragrance of the oil. And here's the interesting thing. There are no words that the woman speaks that are related or recorded by either Mark or by John. But is there any doubt in your mind that the most profound communication was going on? As Mary uses what was in her hands, what she had, and was creative with it, she communicates in touch and in fragrance her love and devotion for Jesus. There's no doubt that communication is going on. We didn't need words. Again, we start with where we are, what we're good at, or even just what we like doing, even if we're not very good at it. Too many of us have been put off from even trying to express ourselves in different ways by discouragement in the past. The thing is, it doesn't have to be any good. Now, you may already have started these collections. Let's have the next photo. I'm sure that Chris and Emily, Alex and Heather, will stick all kinds of interesting art on their fridges over this. No, Emily's shaking her head.
No. Oh, okay.
Not because they're artistically brilliant, but because Isabella, Harriet and Phoebe have created them. And just as they delight in their children's creativity, so God delights in our prayers and sticks them on his fridge because they've come from us. You don't have to be experts. God delights in us because we are his children. At this point, I'd just also like to remind us that comparison is the thief of joy. Comparison is the thief of joy. How often do we stop ourselves trying something or doing something because we believe we're not as good as someone else? God does not make those comparisons. God looks at our hearts, what we bring, and that is what matters. So let's use our creativity in our prayers. And thirdly, let's use our gifts of creativity to enable others to pray. That reading from the Old Testament, it might have seemed a bit kind of, irrelevant. That's a good word. It might have seemed a bit irrelevant. What's been going on about these weird names of these people doing embroidery in the desert? Well, the point is about Bezalel and Aholiab, is that God had chosen them and filled them with the Holy Spirit to be creative in all those different kinds of art forms that we heard about, to create a beautiful space to be a focus of prayer for the people of God. God had commissioned them and anointed them and chosen them with gifts to create a beautiful space to help people to pray. And some of us have the gifts and talents to create things that are beautiful. And they can often be a gift to others to help draw people closer to God. I've lost count over the years that I've been here of the number of people who have commented to me about the beauty of the stained... I can't see it from here because the screen's in the way and those of you there won't be able to see it. But the stained glass at the front of this building. When we have youngsters here on school visits, they are awestruck by it. They love the colour. They're drawn to it. This was a gift of the stained glass artists who made it to us to enable and help our prayers and our worship over the years. A few weeks ago, we opened the church building up on a Sunday afternoon so people could come and pray for the situation in Ukraine. Could I have the next slide, please, Nathaniel? And we had a set of images displayed on the screen as we prayed. One of them was an icon drawn by a Ukrainian artist showing the Last Supper and Jesus' betrayal. For many people, fine art, architecture, music provide a way into prayer. But there are other expressions of creativity that can help people to pray as well. There's a national movement called Prayer Spaces in Schools, and they go into schools and they decorate rooms with activities and things to help young people pray. creative ways of praying, of connecting with God. Again, it's not about comparison. It's not about what's better. It's about using what we have in our hands creatively to encourage and enable each other in our conversations with God. So as we think about our own prayer lives, as we think about how we communicate with God, let's be creative about what that looks like. Let's use our own gifts of creativity as a wellspring of our own prayers, and let's give each other our gifts of creativity to enable each other's prayers. We are a church that values exploring, that wants to be creative. So as we walk on together, as we pray for Isabella and Harriet and Phoebe, as we teach them to pray, I invite you to an exploration of creativity, of starting with who we are, what we have in our hands, and being creative with that, of using creativity in our prayers, of gifting our creativity to each other. As I do this, as we do this, I believe that we'll discover more and more of the richness of who God is, of God's creativity welling up through us, that we'll be drawn deeper into God's love for us and God's delight in us. Amen.
There we go. All back okay. So lots to think about during that talk and through the Bible passages as well. So do drop on the stream any thoughts that you had during that, any questions that you have. And I think we'll share a little bit about what we felt about it. So you guys, Sean, Emmy, did you have any impressions or thoughts to share on that?
Well, I think as people have said about being creative with prayer, I think it's about doing prayer that suits you. So for example, I tend to pray when I'm driving. So you know, in the morning I'll go somewhere. If I have to go somewhere, which generally is pretty much all of the time, I'll drive and I'll either put on a worship CD or and use that as a basis for my prayer. So to get into a place of like worship, if you like, and then sort of give thanks using that worship. And so that's my creative way of praying and coming into God's presence, if you like.
Yeah, I really liked when he said, what did he say? He said, don't start with what you think you should be doing or what you think prayer should be, but start with who you are. And I thought that was really a really good way of thinking about it. What about you, Emmy?
Yeah, I found it really encouraging, actually. I had a discussion with some friends this week, actually, because I'm not a very disciplined person in any area of my life, really. And that makes prayer quite difficult, because you do have this image that you need to do it regularly, that you need to find a quiet space, if that makes sense. And if you're not a particularly disciplined person, or actually being in a quiet environment doesn't help you, because your brain takes over, you know, and you've got a million and one things going on. It's how do you find that space with God, if that makes sense, that allows you to connect with him. So I found it quite encouraging about, yeah, using creative ways to have that connection. I'm quite a visual person. I'm probably the opposite from you in a lot of ways. Liz, I struggle with written language. I struggle with reading. It's no secret, I've talked about it before. I'm much more of a talker. but I find music a really good way. I find pictures and images really, really powerful. So when he was talking about the stained glass window, that's one of the things I love when I visit like cathedrals and stuff. It reminded me of when I went to visit Sheffield Cathedral on a hen do. Everybody else wanted to do shopping and stuff like that. And it's really, The idea of walking, sorry if people are Primark fans out there, but the idea of walking around the high street and going to Primark to buy the latest sandals really was an idea of my idea of fun. So I looked up and I thought, oh, well, Sheffield Cathedral, I've never been there, so I'll go and have a look. And I remember the most amazing stained glass window in it.
Yeah.
On the ceiling. And as you walk in, you probably wouldn't even see it because you have see it as you walk in. There are no seats there, there's no way. I really just wanted to lie on the floor and look at it, but I didn't, obviously. But yeah, it was really, really amazing. I think I've got I took away a postcard of it so I could remind myself of it. But yeah, I really love that. And I remember another image about the stained glass windows. Remember when I went to Palma, Mallorca, and we went to visit the cathedral there. And if you've ever been, it's really busy. It's full of tourists. It's one of the main tourist attractions in Palma. But I'd never been somewhere. We were bathed in the most amazing rainbow light. Mm-hmm. Literally, it was like sitting in a rainbow. You could see it come. It was just, we were just there at the right time. And the light came through the windows. And so, yeah, when he was talking about use your gifts to enable other people to pray, I really like that was really interesting for me because I'd never really thought about that, if that makes sense. And I know you do use your gifts, Liz, to do that, but yeah, just that connectivity, I guess, and how I am using other people's gifts in the visual really to connect with them. So yeah.
And I think you do that more than you know, actually. You do use your creativity to inspire other people to pray. You know, just from that workshop through to stuff that you say at Bible study, through to kind of Bible journaling type of things that you share. I think that is that encouragement and that, you know, that inspiration for others. So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Ali has said on the stream, I love the idea of starting with who we are with prayer. I'm a quiet soul and love sitting with God in silence and just being with him in contemplative prayer.
Yeah. Yeah, see, this is what I love. I love that God just meets us where we are, and God does not expect us to be a carbon copy of everybody else. And, you know, that's why we don't have to look at these pictures of people praying and think that, oh, we've got to be like that. If we're not like that, we panic. And what we can actually be relieved that God meets us in our personality and how he's created us. And I just love that. I just reminded of that tonight, that, you know, we don't have to. And I think Tim brought that out as well, didn't he, when he talked about comparison?
Comparison is the feast of joy, he said.
Yeah, I found that really powerful, actually, because
we all do it.
Yeah, definitely. I think you know, as you said earlier about being on a journey with God, or an adventure. I think sometimes you can get a bit stale and a bit like, oh, well, I'm not hearing God, or I'm not, you know, nothing's really happening. And I think that is a time when you really do need to be creative in terms of how you interact with God and how you worship and all that, because it kind of, you're never going to be doing the same things you did when you first became a Christian, you know, if you've been a Christian quite a while, you know. So I think it's really important that we do think of ways of being creative. And as we said earlier, it doesn't have to be some fantastic thing, does it? It's just like whatever, as Emmy says, whatever suits you and however you interact with people is how we need to interact with God, I guess.
Yeah. I think as well, I was thinking about, you know, God. One of the things about God's creativity is he loves variety, if that makes sense. Like you only have to look around all the faces of people in a supermarket to realize that he loves variety. He loves to individuality. He loves differences. He doesn't want us to be carbon copies. He wants us to be different. And so I guess in that, he wants us to come to him and be able to connect with him. And so he does create a range of ways for us to do that. And I guess it's a bit of freedom, isn't it? You know, take away from this a bit of freedom to actually throw off some of those maybe traditional ideas of what prayer could look like.
Yeah.
If they don't work for you, then, you know, that try something else. Because creativity is a lot about just playing, you know, just playing. Like you said about football earlier, it's literally about playing, about enjoying it, isn't it? So, you know, how can we bring that into our prayer? How can we enjoy being with him and you know, trying to connect with him in different ways and finding a way that works for us. So, yeah.
Because I think a lot of people do look at the pictures that Tim first showed and think that that's what prayer is. Because I remember when I was at school and people knew that I was, my dad was a vicar and stuff. And I remember people saying things like, so do you just sit and pray all day and all of this kind of thing? They thought that that my life was very kind of restricted into just sitting like this all the time at home. And that is just that idea of what prayer is. And it's just so, I mean, for some people, that kind of sitting and praying is right for them in that sense.
Yes. You
know, but even in that stance. But for other people, it's, you know, it's praying through music or praying through painting. My daughter Tabitha, she's amazing with art. And what she finds helpful to worship is to paint pictures or draw pictures as she's worshiping, as she's praying. And then she draws these really amazing images that, you know, it's just God's creativity in who she is, which is, I just love that diversity at the heart of God.
Becky says, I think it's really encouraging to have the freedom to pray with your way and not to be worried that you're expected to follow the norm.
Yeah, that's it. And it's the same with words. We don't have to recite certain words. You know, the Lord's Prayer is a good model for us, but we don't have to, you know, recite all these words every time. We can just bring ourselves and our thoughts and who we are to God. And I like something else Tim said that I wrote down. He wrote down, God sticks our prayers on his fridge.
I like that.
Because when our kids were little, we used to stick a whole montage of really amazing art on, or not amazing art, on the fridge. And just the idea of God taking each of our prayers and putting it in pride of place. And like we do, you know, like parents do with their children's art. I
imagine God's fridge looks like mine at the moment, because I'm not allowed to throw away anything in our house. Yeah. So literally, like, and it's full of, and the interesting thing when you take that as an analogy as well, my fridge is full of like reminders for doctor's appointments and child has done, and I might be breaking up, it says I'm unstable, and you know, it's picture, like doctor's appointments and like calendar reminders, and that's a bit like what God's fridge must look like, and it'll have lots of creative stuff as well as lots of, you know, other stuff as well in between, or photos and memories, and
yeah,
and yeah, it must be quite a fridge.
Yeah, it reminds me of that other verse in the Bible in the Psalms that says God collects up our tears in a bottle. And it's kind of like he hears, you know, he records each one of our tears, it says, which I think is a beautiful picture of, you know, he sees our pain as well as our joy. And so he just keeps it all and knows it all. And I just really like that. Yeah.
I think the other thing he said was, you don't have to be brilliant at this. And I think that can sometimes put people off prayer, particularly if you're a new Christian. You know, like you said, this idea of what prayer needs to be, I'd really encourage just to, like Tim said, really to start with yourself, what works for you, where do you find that peaceful place, and then invite God into it, I guess. And that's probably a better way of starting.
I want to say a quick word about journaling Bibles, which I have one here. These are Bibles that are specially set out with sort of big spaces down the margins for you to create and to write, to draw, to do anything you want to, really. But also a lot of the Bibles have lots of pages in like this. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Lots of these kind of pages that you can, it does, this one says verse mapping, where you can compare lots of verses. And yeah, I kind of doodle over the words. I don't know if you can see there. It's kind of like, you see, and I'm not very good at this. It's again, like what Tim said about, you don't have to be very good at it. I'm not very good at art, but it don't have to be, you know, it's just about bringing that to God. And I just wanted to highlight journaling Bible as a way in to pray, if that, if you're so inclined, if you feel like you want to have a go at that. And not everyone would, you know, it wouldn't be Tim's idea of anything much fun, but you know, everybody is different. So yeah, that's journaling Bible. And you can get all sorts of prayer journals. I'll just quickly, this one I've created actually, that's available on Amazon. It's a prayer journal, and it's got lots of like Bible verses in it, and just little bits of poetry and things like that. And you can use things like this to create what you want to, and maybe write down your prayers to God. So yeah, I mean, there's loads of things like that available on Amazon. So yeah, have you got any other ideas, you guys, about that kind of thing? Or
I always find a Christian bookshop a good place to start if you want ideas. You know, that there's some really good ones out there, so look up online where your local Christian bookshop is and walk in and just see what they've got. Tell them what you might be looking for. Often the people behind the desk are really good at finding you things as well, because they'll know what they've got. So I quite often seek them out in different places, even when I'm on holiday, because we don't have one in our own town here, so you tend to have to travel to somewhere to find one. But yeah, I always tend to seek them out and go and have a look, because there's often a starting point or something creative that might lead you to these places. So
The one in Shrewsbury is good. Yeah.
I was going to say, along with that, that Christian bookshop, the like Bible study notes, like devotional notes. If you're sort of like you're saying earlier about being somebody that isn't that can't concentrate when they pray, or you know, attention span wanders, I find that if you have like Bible study notes, like Daily Bread or something like that, the sort of studies that are very minimal, so it'd be like one verse and like not a lot of stuff, is quite good. It just sort of gives you like a kind of like a thought, almost like a thought for the day, which is really good. So if you're somebody that really can't concentrate or whatever, it's really good, because it's like, it's very quick and quite good. So and they have lots of them at the bookshop.
The main thing is be adventurous. Don't be afraid to explore who you are, and who you are in God, and who God's made you to be. You know, remembering that God has stamped his image on you, and that's why you are who you are. You know, you don't have to be somebody else. And find out what you love, and go for it. And yeah, so I guess bringing it home now, how do we always finish with this question, don't we? How do we communicate this to our families, to young people, to children? How do we communicate this this whole area to them? What's a good ways to do that?
Well, I think leading by example, obviously, is really good. And, you know, I think I've got, obviously, my daughter Freya is 14. So obviously, you know, different stages, different kids, you know, obviously when they get to teenagers, they're different. So it's like thinking, how can I encourage her to pray, or, you know, that sort of thing. So it's, I think if you're very heavy with these sort of things, they kind of switch off. You must pray, or you must do this. So it's about, I guess, for me, about being a bit subtle, really, in terms of, oh yeah, you know, let's do this, or let's try this sort of thing.
I think if you're a creative person then and you are making something for somebody, like I have a prayer shawl that was made for me, and when Nan was in hospital, one of the ladies from church desperately wanted to know Nan's favourite colour so she could knit her a prayer shawl, and I know she was praying while she did it, and then when it was passed to my Nan, I said, oh, this lady's been praying while she's making it for you. And that means quite a lot to somebody.
Yes,
if you are a creative person, then that's one way that you can say, you know, and it could be in a card and just say, I was making this for you, rather than I thought of you. You can say, I prayed for you, you know. You know, rather than I'm thinking of you, I'm praying for you as I'm making this or as I've created this. So that's one way that you can kind of show and really reflect your gifts and use them for other people. So
yeah. Fantastic, brilliant. Right, we're going to go into a bit of worship now, and then we're just going to end with some prayer together. So we're just going to worship with What a Beautiful Name, thinking about how Jesus was there right from the start creating.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ our King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could say? What a wonderful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no name it is. can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
So we'll just come together in a time of prayer, really, and I'll use the bit in my Bible journal that I've scribbled in and can show people on the screen that says, pause, rejoice, ask, and yield. So we'll just use that sort of method to bring our prayers to God today. So yeah, so we'll just breathe in for a minute and just center ourselves on God and just try and find that space where we can meet with Him. And I just encourage you, if that space is to have a pen in your hand or you're knitting or, you know, a little bit of music on in the background, you just take this minute just to create that space for you, whatever works for you. Lord, we rejoice in you. We just thank you that you are a God of variety. You are a God of creativity. You make us in your handiwork. We are your handiwork. You make us in your image. And that is wonderful and joyous, Lord. We thank you that when we come to you, you are our Father in heaven, and you welcome us with open arms, that you do put our pictures and our prayers on your fridge, Lord, that you are so proud, even when we come with the smallest of requests, even when we come with 1 minute in our day, you are overjoyed to hear us, Lord. And I thank you for that, Lord. That you are a Father that really longs to connect with us and longs for us to come to you.
Yeah. And we rejoice that you are a God of such huge diversity and variety, Lord, and that that's at your heart, and that you created us all in your image, in all those different ways, with all these different likes and different loves, different passions for different sorts of creativity. Thank you, Lord, so much for that, for all the differences between us, and that they all reflect you and who you are. Thank you.
Yeah, Lord, we just thank you that you accept us just as we are, and you love us more than we can ever know. And just spending time with you is a great thing, Lord. And as we said earlier, it doesn't have to be on our knees with our hands together. It can be anywhere, anytime, any place, and whatever is suits us, Lord. We just thank you for that, and I pray that we really would be able to remember that, Lord, that we don't have to put pressure on ourselves, that we have to be in a certain place, a certain position, or anything like that, Lord, that you are just there with open arms waiting, listening. Thank you, Lord, for that. Amen.
So we've come to the next part of our prayer where we just ask. So if you've got something really on your heart today, you can put it in the stream, and hopefully Sean will pick that up for us and we can pray on that. Or you can just say it out loud, or in your head, or whatever feels right for you, whatever is going on right now, that you just take that moment to bring it to God. Because he is a God that loves to hear our voice, that loves to know what's on our hearts, that loves for us to speak that out loud or to say it to him. So really just take this minute just to say.
Yeah. God. Becky has a prayer request for her friend Emma, who is struggling with a lot of stuff right now, and she wants us to pray that that God would watch over her during this difficult time and hold her in his heart and give her strength. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. And Danny has a friend, Lee, who's going through radiotherapy at the moment, and she wants us to pray that that obviously the treatment would be a real success, and that he's had a bit of an issue as well, Lord, with his teeth, and we just ask, Lord, that that would be able to be sorted out. We pray for strength and courage at this time, having to have this treatment, that we ask, Lord, that his practical needs would be met and his faith would stay strong, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And I just ask that really we will feel empowered by today. We will feel the freedom today to seek you out in those places where those still places, those thin places, Lord, that we find in the world, that we can really connect to you. So I pray that you'll just make us really aware of those this week, Lord. Make us aware of your presence in those places. And particularly for those of us who don't struggle to find them in those quiet moments, Lord, that we'll just have the freedom to try and connect with you in a different way, Lord, this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Lord, we just, we just lift up our thoughts really to you, Lord, and that we know that in the end of all of this, Lord, it is your will. So wherever you want us to meet you this week, Lord, we say yes to that, Lord. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Emmy, and thanks, guys, on stream for sharing your prayers as well, and we'll keep you in our prayers. So that's it for this week. We've got a couple of minutes over, dear, oh dear. It's great to see you all, and do join us again next week. I don't know what we'll be talking about next week, but I'm sure it'll be good. So do join us then, and if you want to get in touch, do email Tim or drop a post on the Facebook group, the Shift Church Facebook group. If you're not a member of that, do join that. Just talk to someone who one of us or someone else who is, and we'll put you on. And join in there, join the conversation. Great to see you all, and have a lovely rest of evening. So say goodbye, Sean.
Goodbye, Sean.
And say goodbye, Emmy.
Bye, everyone. Good night.
Okay. Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.